I'm very excited. Honestly, it did just kick in about today because all of the handicapping is done, all of my picks are in, all of my decisions are made. So it really has just kind of kicked in now, and I'm really getting excited.
If you wouldn't mind, can we kind of rehash your career history? You're not what year did you graduate from college?
2013.
All right, you've had a meteoric rise in this business, a tough business for anyone to break into, but particularly young people. And just to venture a guess here, how many female track handicappers are there coast to coast? Do you know?
I would honestly say it would range probably between 10 and 12 people, women. And we actually have, I don't know if you heard about it, but we do have a special female handicapping challenge on Friday, and that features six, including myself, of the female handicappers throughout the country, and we're going to compete for top prize. So there are a few of us out there, and very good ones, too.
I'm sure that is true, but I know it tends to be a male-dominated industry in horse racing. That's not always the case. There are female jocks. We honored Rosina Pravnik today at Pimlico, and there's certainly female trainers. But it tends to be, I would guess, what, 8-9 to 1, male to female? So it's clearly done based on your abilities and your love for the sport. What is your background with the sport?
My background is, you know, I actually grew up in the sport. My parents, Eddie and Linda Gaudette, they are trainers. My dad actually recently retired, actually the year that we had a horse in the Preakness in 2011. And my sister is a up-and-coming trainer as well. So I just come from kind of a horse racing background. And I really dove into it actually probably sophomore year into college. And high school, I was more occupied with soccer and other sports and kind of left the horse racing to my parents and my sister. But then once I got into college, I found a new side of it, and that was the media side of it, and I just really fell in love with it.
Now, when did you start trying your hand at picking races? Did that happen for you in college? Did you go off to Pimlico or Laurel on a Saturday afternoon and start betting races?
It actually happened. I really started to dive into the handicapping when the job opportunity was available for the on-air position actually at Laurel. So just before, it was the fall before I was graduating from college. So it really did take me a couple of months to improve that craft. But, you know, it's so different. You can be in the horse racing industry for your entire life, but not necessarily be a good handicapper or a good racing analyst. So there's just so many different sections of the industry. It did take me a while to get better at it, but the hard work has definitely paid off.
Gabby Gaudette is with us from the Maryland Jockey Club. I was going to ask you that next, Gabby. How much better do you think you've gotten just in the last 2 years?
Worlds better. I look back at some of the picks I made or even on-air duties that I did probably a year and a half ago. And, you know, when you're in the media and you have to re-listen to yourself or re-watch yourself, sometimes you cringe a little bit. But that's always a good thing that, you know, you're improving and you're developing your craft each and every year.
Well, I say you have a great presence on television when we see you at the track, but also your picks I find fascinating as well. You seem to know what you're talking about. Let's first talk about the Black Eyed Susan race tomorrow. I don't have that race in front of me right now, but is there a horse you want our listeners to know about who are heading to Pimlico tomorrow to keep an eye on, or a horse or two?
I really do like two horses in the Black Eyed Susan, one of them being Include Betty. She's going to be my top selection. She's coming out of the Oaks, and we did see over the course of the Oaks Day and actually Derby Day, some horses kind of have a digression in form. Perhaps they weren't taking to the particular track surface that day. And she gave a really gritty effort. She just had so much trouble. She was kind of down inside on the rail. And her, it was really the race. You could kind of just cross it out, even though it was the Kentucky Oaks. But she had no room to run the majority of the stretch. So I'm thinking with a shorter field and coming to the Pimlico surface, we're going to see a much improved performance. But we do have Luminance for Bob Baffert. He's actually bringing in Luminance and then obviously American Pharoah and Dortmund. So he has an arsenal of horses this year, and she seems to be very, very tough. She will be the favorite. So between those two, they're going to be tough, but I also like another filly named Odd Chocolate. So if you'd like, maybe box those in an Exacta.
I'll do that. I will do that, Gabby, tomorrow. And then hopefully I'll be cashing in when I get back to the track Saturday morning. Let's look at the big one, Preakness Stakes number 140. Coming up on Saturday. It's such an interesting field because it's such a top-heavy field. Is it as simple as 1-2, maybe 8 come Saturday for you, Gabby?
I'm sticking to American Pharoah, and this is kind of what I told other people as well. Horses that you were on going into the Derby, stick with them even going into the Preakness. So obviously the industry and fans themselves have a lot of Dortmund fans. There's a lot of Firing Line fans, and there's a lot of American Pharoah fans. And I would honestly just say, don't jump off the bandwagon just yet on horses like Dortmund or Firing Line. And if you think that American Pharoah is vulnerable, maybe just keep sticking with them, because all three of them gave such a gritty effort in the Derby. For my purposes, you know, I don't want to pick favorite, second favorite, third favorite. So my strategy was I actually chose American Pharoah on top and backed him up with Dortmund and a new shooter, Divining Rod.
Yeah.
Those are going to be my top three.
Yeah, with Javier Castellano aboard, that is an intriguing horse, an interesting play there. Hopefully there's a payoff somewhere there. I always like to bet a long shot. Is there a long shot in the race that interests you at all? Maybe the three-horse, Wayne Lucas's horse, Mr. Z. He seemed to play down today his horse's chances, but if you listen to Bob Baffert, any horse with Wayne Lucas involved has a shot when it comes to a Triple Crown race.
He is definitely capable of pulling the upset. Wayne Lucas is amazing trainer, and the fact that he just has so much confidence in this horse, he was privately purchased or sold by the Zayats just a couple days before, actually, or the day that you had to enter into the Preakness. So the fact that he was willing to spend this money to run this horse in the Preakness just speaks volumes of his confidence with Mr. Z. And he was extremely compromised in the Kentucky Derby. He's a horse that really needs his speed. It's his best attribute, and it was taken away from the get-go. So I wouldn't be surprised if he actually goes gate to wire, because I don't think it would be the sharpest move for American Pharoah to go to the lead from the rail. He's a horse that's going to have a, kind of a target on his back because he is the Derby winner. Dortmund and Mr. Z, I think, are going to be the two fastest horses in the race. Perhaps even Mr. Z can shake clear of the field.
Mm. And how long does it take you to prepare for a weekend like this, Gabby, compared to a typical day out at the track?
Well, considering we just have about double the amount of races and double amount the field sizes, we just have so many horses entered in throughout the course of the weekend that it does take me significantly longer. But honestly, when you're handicapping nice races, big races, or even small races, you just have to go with your initial opinion and not really second guess yourself. So if a race makes sense, from the get-go, don't go against your first inkling and just go with it. Now, with me, I do my picks. I don't do a lot of research at first. I just kind of analyze the race, who's going to go to the lead, whose speed, I kind of paint a picture of the race. I do my top three selections, and then I go look up some additional information that I can maybe provide to the public that might sway them one way or the other.
Are you enjoying your life in horse racing?
I am. It's amazing. It's an amazing sport. I have an amazing job. I'm a very lucky person.